T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G, $1,000 in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money, more money, more money.
And right now, get a G.
CART is the code word. This hour's word is CART, C-A-R-T. You can text the word CART to C-A-R-T to 72881. Text CART, C-A-R-T to 72881 before 5 o'clock, and that gives you a chance to win $1,000. Good luck to you. CART is the code word, and don't forget, miss a code word, you can go back here on the Rewind feature on our app at 92.9 FM ESPN on the radio.com app. You can rewind and get the code word that way if you miss it. Code word is CART to 72881, and another code word is coming your way tomorrow morning with Golic and Wingo at 8 a.m.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Parish. I'm speaking to you from the corner of 54th and Broadway in the Theater District, New York City. Brad Carson back in Memphis producing a program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruptions.
Lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you didn't think the Grizzlies winning streak would be snapped at 5 games just because the Grizz were 5-point underdogs last night at home to the Houston Rockets. Because if you thought that, shame on you. Have you not been paying attention? The Grizz have two of the best 20-year-old basketball players in the world, and they're determined to never lose another basketball game again. So the Grizz beat the Rockets last night, which means the winning streak is up to 6 games. Grizzlies now alone in 8th in the Western Conference standings, just 4.5 games behind the Thunder for 7th. So this is all equal parts awesome and unexpected. We're going to dive in momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:25, Joe Mullinix is going to join me. He's the site manager for SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Who better to talk to than Joe a day after the Grizzlies get a big win and John Morant probably turns in his best performance of the season? Joe Mullinix will be here in about 20 minutes. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, and then I'll do 4 notable stories at 4:44, at which point I will discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, it's now official. Zion Williamson will not play on Monday in Memphis, but he will play 2 days after that against the San Antonio Spurs. So that's disappointing, but also understandable. I'll tell you why around 4:44. Cole Anthony announced earlier today on Instagram that he's going to be returning to North Carolina's lineup soon. So there's a projected top 5 pick in the 2020 NBA draft who is not going to quit his team midseason to focus on the NBA draft. How cool of him. We're going to get into that a little later on this hour. The news broke last night about 30 minutes after we got off air. Alex Cora is out as manager of the Boston Red Sox. So that's 2 World Series winning managers fired in 2 days because of the sign stealing scandals that have rocked the sport. Another manager, specifically the first-year manager of the New York Mets, could be next. I'll tell you about that just before 5 o'clock. And the 20-member Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2020 was announced earlier today, just 2 days after Jeff Calkins killed Paul Tagliabue on this very radio show. Paul Tagliabue, who is actually very much alive, was announced as an inductee to the Hall of Fame. Congrats to him and everybody else. We'll get into that during 4 notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. And then we'll eventually do dinner to go, and we'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with, what else? The Memphis Grizzlies, another massive win last night inside FedEx Forum. Final score, Grizz 121, Rockets 110. So the winning streak, like I said, up to 6 games, and the Grizz are now 19-22 overall. but 13-6, and that's the important number, 13-6 since Ja Morant returned from injury. They're alone in eighth in the Western Conference standings heading into Friday's game with the Cleveland Cavaliers inside FedEx Forum. The six-game winning streak is the longest Grizzlies winning streak since December 2016. The Grizz outscored the Rockets last night 36-27 in the fourth quarter. That's how they pulled away, but it was a big scoring performance for James Harden, sure. He got 41, but he was just 13 of 37 from the field, and he missed all seven shots that he took in the fourth quarter. So the soon-to-be three-time scoring champ, former MVP, still very much in his prime, probably a top-five player in the world, was in the building last night on national television. Last night, the story was Ja Morant, the 20-year-old rookie from Murray State. What a show he put on. Cowboy Carson, Were you there or did you watch it on TV?
I watched it on TV, man. I was fired up. My son and I are giving each other high fives. Ja going around the back and freaky deaky. It's fun.
It is freaky deaky would be one way to put it. Freestyling is another. He's doing things on a basketball court that you don't see other people even try to do on a basketball court. I mean, he's getting in the air. Mm-hmm. And hanging and looking around and then getting the ball to the rim for an alley-oop. He's going behind his back in transition, then leaving the ball for Jaren for a dunk. Talking crazy stuff to James Harden. We'll get to that in a second. But I watched it on TV as well because I'm here in New York City. And we were in studio at the CBS Broadcast Center last night. And we were there to do a college basketball show. So in our quote-unquote green room, we actually call it the bullpen, we have 12 TVs. And it is typically going to be 12 college basketball games and New York-related sports because, though I am not from New York, I travel here for work. Most of the people who are going to be in that room every night live here. Like last night, I come to New York from Memphis. Flying in for work. Jamie Erdahl, who our studio host, who also does sideline reporting on SEC games on CBS every Saturday. So if you watch those SEC games, you know Jamie Erdahl. She flies in from Minneapolis. But I think everybody else in the bullpen / studio last night are people who live here in the area. My point being, they're New York sports fans. So we'll have a Knicks game on or a Rangers game on or maybe even a Devils game on. So it's college basketball and then New York stuff. And last night, as I walked in the bullpen, I raised my hand and I said, "Can I have everybody's attention? I'd like to make a special request tonight. Can we get the Rockets-Grizzlies on one of these 12 televisions?" It's actually on national television, NBA TV, and it's not only because I want to watch it to keep up with my hometown franchise, but I want you guys to watch it because I know you've seen Ja Morant highlights on social media, but I don't think you've seen the Grizzlies play that much, and I want you all to enjoy it as much as I enjoy it, as much as everybody back in Memphis is enjoying it. And they sort of looked at me like I was crazy, but they said, "Yeah, sure, GP, what do we care? We're not going to fight with you over this." So we got Grizzlies Rockets on one of the TVs, and I swear to God, hand to heart, even while we're watching upsets all over college basketball, Maryland lose to Wisconsin, Duke lose to Clemson, at one point in the ninth, specifically the second quarter, I think I had most of the bullpen focused on the Grizzlies and Rockets because of Ja Morant and the wild stuff he was doing. I mean, just an absolutely incredible performance and an incredible show. 10 of 11 from the field, 26 points, 8 assists. I'm sure you heard by now. First rookie in NBA history, in the history of the league, to score at least 25 points and get at least 8 assists while shooting at least 90% from the field. Just out there freestyling. Like I said, doing things in a basketball game that you don't see other people do. Among those things, being a 20-year-old who is talking wild ass to James Harden, sure bet, first ballot, future Hall of Famer who is still very much in his prime. And I saw some people on Twitter being like, first off, most people on Twitter are like, Ja Morant is amazing. Ja Morant talking wild to James Harden is awesome. But there was a little bit of respect your elder stuff that I stumbled into when I was doing a Ja Morant Twitter search. Brad, where are you at on that? Ja Morant, hey, you're still a 20-year-old rookie just barely into your first year as a professional basketball player. That is James Harden, a man who has been an MVP, a man who's about to be a three-time scoring champion, even if you're giving it to him pretty good, even if you think he's being disrespectful, sagging off you and allowing you to shoot, you don't talk like that to James
Harden. I land on the do what you got to do to get through the day and have fun on a basketball court. At some point, I imagine he will be maybe humbled, maybe not, but likely. So just do what you're doing. That's fine. Whatever. I'm here for it, you know?
In professional baseball, this would probably be nearly universal
right.
because baseball players are weird.
It's dumb.
And in professional football, it might also be the same thing. But in the NBA, I mean, that league is rooted in swagger. Right. It's rooted in talking. It's rooting in it's rooted in showing off.
Flex,
it's rooted in when you are in a position to flex on somebody, go ahead and flex on somebody. Right. If you want to be Allen Iverson and disrespectfully step over another player, do that. If you want to try to attack somebody at the rim, then stand over them, do that. Just understand somebody's going to do it to you someday too. But the rules are much, much looser in the NBA when it comes to this kind of stuff. So put me on the side of talk that talk, young man. When you're on national TV, not just leading your team to a win over a better team, not just going head-to-head with the MVP, but taking it right at James Harden and destroying him, not embarrassing him, because like James Harden makes his money on the offensive end of the court. So nobody's like watching that last night and going, oh, James Harden is getting disrespected. I mean, that's kind of what you expect from James Harden on that end of the court. But still, Ja was going right at him and giving it to him. And then the clip that got most of the attention was what I referenced earlier. James Harden is sagging off of Ja, which, by the way, is exactly the way you should play him if you're James Harden. Because you can't guard anyway. Like, he is a below-average perimeter defender in the NBA. Again, he makes his money on the other end of the court. So if you're James Harden, you can't get up on Ja Morant because he will go right by you. Mike D'Antoni last night was, trying to explain what happened, he said, we couldn't keep them in front of us. So, I mean, this is basketball 101. If you can't keep people in front of you, you back off of them and you give yourself room to operate, room to react, or you dare them into a shot that you would prefer that they take. So Ja Morant can be disrespected by what James Harden was doing, but like James Harden was doing, like, I'm sure what he was instructed to do and probably what the smart thing to do is. Either way, he's sagging off Ja Morant. And Ja finally, sometimes you've got space and somebody, you're waiting on somebody to come out to you. But it became very clear James Harden wasn't going to come out. He was just going to sit there and say, hey, yo, if you want to shoot it, you can shoot it. Different, but like sort of the same concept of what the Warriors did to Tony Allen way back then. Like, hey, man, if you want to take that 20-foot jumper, you can stand there and take it all day long. We will live with that. We're not even going to come out and guard you. That's what James Harden, again, different but similar in concept, decided to do with Ja Morant on that possession. So Ja just pulls it. And then he makes it. Because the truth is, when he was coming out of college, which was less than a year ago, by the way, people did question whether he was a good enough perimeter shooter. And it was a legitimate question to ask. Like, if you were doing pros and cons on Ja Morant, the pros would have been all of the obvious stuff, the vision, the passing, the athleticism, the explosiveness. The, in the cons column would be perimeter shooter ? I mean, it's a fair thing based on, the way he shot the ball in college and his reputation as a shooter. But the truth is, he has been shooting the ball well in his rookie season in Memphis. Now, he's not taking a bunch of attempts, but he is making, roughly 40% of the attempts that he's making. So either way, James Harden sags off, Ja pulls it, makes it, and then as he's coming back down the court, looks toward somewhere and says the following: tell that MF-er about me. What an awesome moment. Tell that MF-er about me. In other words, somebody better tell him who I am. Like, I don't know if he watched much OVC basketball, and I don't know if he watched the draft, and I don't know if he's been watching us this season as much as he's been watching strip clubs this season, but somebody better tell this dude who I am, because I'm out here working him. And you want to get up on me, I'm going to go around you. You want to sag off of me, I'm going to make the shot. You better recognize who you're dealing with tonight. I loved it. Loved it. loved it, and most of the internet seemed to love it as well. Again, there was a little bit of that. You shouldn't talk like that to an MVP when you're a 20-year-old halfway into your rookie season, but no. Go ahead and talk and talk and talk. Say whatever you want to say. You are a 20-year-old rookie leading an NBA franchise that was picked to finish last in the West to a possible playoff spot. That's unbelievable. He's now minus 625, Ja Morant, to be the rookie of the year. And he's a topic on First Take this morning. That's the other thing that's so different about this than the Core 4 era. Besides the fact that they, like, score a million points and they're incredibly efficient offensively and they're getting up and down the court at a tempo that is top 5 in the NBA, like, it just looks different. It's registering differently. Like, I don't want to say it never happened because I'm sure it did, but it was very rare for you to turn on a national sports talk radio show or a national debate sports television show and watch national personalities discuss Zach Randolph,
right,
or Mike Conley or Mark Gasol or Tony Allen. We spent a lot of time appreciating grit and grind. Most of the rest of the world didn't even look at or think about grit and grind until the playoffs started. And it's like, oh, okay, so it looks like the Spurs are playing Memphis, or it looks like the Warriors are playing the Grizzlies, or it looks like the Clippers are playing the Grizzlies. Then people would start paying attention. Then maybe if you won a game or two, won a series or two, you'd show up on something like First Take. Or pardon the interruption. But largely, the Core 4 era was a Memphis story, confined to Memphis. It's one we will cherish forever. It's one most people have a very surface-level understanding of, if they have an understanding of it at all. This is different. You know, you turn on First Take this morning, they're talking about Ja Morant. They're talking about the Grizzlies. Because it probably is the best story in the NBA right now. Again, you can't overstate it. Team picked to finish last in the West by most people and most computers. It is currently eighth in the West and trending the right direction. Forget the overall record. I mean, don't forget it, because, you know, in the end, that is what matters. You get into the playoffs based on, you know, your record over an 82-game season. But the most important thing to focus on is 13-6 since Ja Morant return from injury, since DeAnthony Melton became a part of this rotation, since the Grizzlies were watching right now became the Grizzlies we're watching right now. It's a good basketball team. And Seth Greenberg was among the people on First Take this morning, and he described Ja Morant, he described him as basketball versions of Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's a pretty good thing to hear about your franchise point guard. Like, a guy who comes into the league and immediately changes your franchise in a dynamic and irresistible way. That is what Patrick Mahomes did in Kansas City. He came there and suddenly everything got different. And Ja Morant has come to Memphis and everything is different. Some of it, sure, is rooted with the head coach as well. Taylor Jenkins has remade this entire basketball team in terms of the way it plays. He deserves an immense amount of credit. But if we're looking for the biggest reason the Grizzlies are what they are right now, which is a good, not a, 2 weeks ago we were talking about him, it was like, hey, they're playing well. We don't know if they're good, but they're playing well. Now I think we know they're good. There's a lot of data to suggest that we know they're good. And 2 weeks ago we were talking about Ja Morant, like, he could be awesome. Man, he looks like he's going to be awesome. You fast forward to today, I don't know where everybody else is. I'm comfortable saying it. He's awesome right now. Last six games, he's averaging 19.8 points per game, 9.2 assists per game, 5 rebounds a game. He's shooting 61% from the field, 40% from three, 90% from the free throw line. And in those six games, yes, the Grizzlies are 6-0 undefeated. He's awesome right now. Now, are those numbers inflated based on a hot run of games? Probably. Like, I don't think those are going to be season averages, but he's doing that. He did that, and he is becoming a thing on social media as well. Like, last night, if you follow basketball people or basketball accounts, there's a whole lot of stuff people could be talking about and tweeting about, because there's a whole lot of basketball stuff happening, and I do believe Ja Morant was the biggest topic of conversation. I did a Twitter search just to, like, just type in Ja Morant in the Twitter search engine and see what pops up, and it's hilarious to just read what people, not Memphians, but just people outside of Memphis, it's hilarious to read what they are typing about him in real time. Here's some examples. Ja Morant, going to put on 15 pounds of muscle in a few years and catch a manslaughter charge at the rim. Ja Morant won't stop torturing James Harden. See, that's the part about being on NBA TV. Yeah. People are exposed to the Grizzlies that otherwise wouldn't be. You're not just watching highlights. You're watching a game. And in that game, you're watching Ja Morant, sure, create highlights, but also torture James Harden. Again, one of the five best players in the world. Another tweet. Ja Morant is going to be everything we wanted Russell Westbrook to be. How about that? That wasn't from a Grizzlies fan. That was just from some random basketball fan across the country. And I'm not saying any of these are right or wrong. I'm just saying this is the type of hype he's getting. More hype than any Grizzlies player on a national level in history. And think about what that the tweet said. Ja Morant is going to be everything we wanted Russell Westbrook to be. Well, let me tell you what Russell Westbrook is.
Yeah.
He's an MVP, he's a million-time All-Star, and he's a first-ballot sure-bet Hall of Famer. That's what Russell Westbrook is. And somebody out there watching Ja Morant is saying he's going to be better than that? What? I mean, at this point, I'm not ruling anything out.
No.
But the idea that somebody's, tweeting that in a serious way is, again, just interesting. Another tweet, Ja Morant is absurd. And then perhaps my favorite tweet, I want the Grizzlies to make the playoffs for the sole reason that Ja Morant will have the audacity to call for an ISO against LeBron James, do some Houdini step back S, and say I'm next to his face before the ball even goes in the basket. People are fired up, not just in Memphis about the Grizzlies, but across the country. Basketball people about the Grizzlies, specifically about Ja Morant. And for whatever it's worth, as we've been talking about this fun winning streak over the past few weeks, we have always talked about it in this way. The Grizzlies right now are in a playoff race, but it probably won't end with them as a playoff team. Because the truth is, the computer still suggests that it will not, even at this moment. But for what it's worth, the 538 NBA blog now projects the Grizzlies to finish 35-47, 10th in the West, just 3 games out of 8. And that might not sound great, and it's not, because that would still end with you short of where you're trying to get right now. But that is as positive as these computers have ever been about the Grizzlies at any point in this season. Even when the Grizzlies were, you know, sitting at 9th or 10th, it would have them projected to finish 13th or 14th. But it's inching in the right direction. And now, even if you only do what the computers say you're going to do, and by the way, the Grizzlies have, from the first game to this game, been consistently doing more than the computers said they were going to do. But even if you just do what the computers think you're going to do from this point forward, we're in a playoff race through the end of the season. And that'll be an incredible amount of fun. But don't ever forget, they've been exceeding what the computer expectations are all season. And given that we are halfway through this season, and given that they are playing the basketball they've played all season long, I don't think there's any real reason to think they can't exceed the computer's expectations the rest of the way. And yes, maybe, just maybe, play the Lakers in a first-round Western Conference playoff series. Joe Mullinex covers the Grizzlies for GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Talk to him about all this next. You're listening to The Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Young and hungry.
Down to 10 on the shot clock. Morant working at Baines. Quick stutter step in the lane. Hangs. Jams with a right hand on Baines. Oh, what a move by Ja Morant. Ja Morant, what a play by the rookie at the rim on top of Baines with the dunk. I can't believe what I just saw. Going to his left, back with his right, and got hammered on the play.
The Memphis Grizzlies on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's NBA station.
The new extra cheesy Alfredo pizza from Papa John's has extra cheese on another 3-cheese blend, on Alfredo sauce, on garlic parmesan crust, which is now on your mind and on its way to being your new favorite thing, on account of all that cheese and Alfredo that you heard about on the radio. Get a new extra cheesy Alfredo pizza with garlic parmesan crust for just $10. Better ingredients, better pizza. Papa John's. Not valid with discounts, fees and taxes extra. Prices may vary.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, my name is Hannah, and I like Chick-fil-A nuggets because they are made with love. It's kind of like if you want to go to your grandmother's house for dinner. It's going to be your real home-cooked meal. You can't go wrong with it.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie, and something I love about the Chick-fil-A nuggets is their gold color. It lets me know that I'm about to enjoy something hot and delicious. It's just comfort food. It feels good to eat.
Real guests paid for their testimonial. Receive a free 8-count Chick-fil-A nuggets when you sign in on the Chick-fil-A app by January 31st, 2020.
I'm Tanya Harding, Direct Auto Insurance Spokesperson.
Hi, I'm Johnny Manziel, Direct Auto Insurance Spokesperson.
Now, maybe life doesn't always go as planned.
Or maybe you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from.
Life's not always fair. Direct Auto will be.
They'll look past your past.
Finally.
And get you going with auto insurance.
I found my place at Direct Auto.
You can too.
Get direct and get going. Get a super low down payment for as low as $35. Direct General Group, Nashville, Tennessee. Down payments vary. Terms and conditions apply. Doesn't reduce premium. Additional fees may apply. How you buy impacts cost.
At Booking.com, our search filters make it easy to book the perfect place to stay to check off any New Year's resolution. Want to be more active this year? Book a resort with a fitness center at Booking.com. Check. Want to shorten your commute? Book a ski lodge right by the lifts at Booking.com. Check. Or do you want to worry less in 2020? Then book a vacation home with a relaxing hot tub. Check. At Booking.com, there's a booking for every resolution. Download the app and book now.
Hi, Saver. Walgreens here. We like the way you save. Take coffee. You know it doesn't have to cost $4 a cup, so you make your own. And copays on Medicare Part D. You save up to $5 and get 100 balance rewards points on each prescription when Walgreens is your preferred pharmacy. Save smartly on Med D. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Copay savings on Tier 1 generic drugs available through select plans that include Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Points cannot be earned in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Complete details at walgreens.com/balance.
Car accident? Dial #529 on your cell. #law. That's all.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
This ain't a wave or a phase.
Cole Anthony announced earlier today on Instagram that he is going to be back in North Carolina's lineup soon. So there's a projected top five pick, 2020 NBA draft, who's not going to quit his team midseason. What a novel idea. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he's the site manager for SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com, host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. It's Joe Mullinex. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
All right, Joe, I'm going to start you with the question I've been starting you with for, it feels like, several weeks now. We're sitting here January 15th. Grizzlies are on a 6-game winning streak. They are alone in 8th in the Western Conference standings. Are you excited now? Can you get excited now?
I'm excited about the individual game. I think that's okay. I'm really excited about how John Morant played. He looked amazing. I loved how he doesn't shy away from conflict, or he doesn't, you know, try to get away from the moment. He embraces it. He attacks it. I love how he went after James Harden and competed. I wrote about over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. I called it the audacity of John Morant. And oftentimes audacity has a negative connotation, right? Like it's like rude. And I think there's somebody out there, Chris Palmer, I believe it was, who essentially insinuated that, saying that, you know, you don't go to MVP like that. You need to be respectful, that sort of thing. You treat future Hall of Famers with respect. That's not necessarily going to be John Morant's game or the culture or mentality that Morant is driving. And you can agree or disagree with that perspective. But I think that John Morant is going to be like the prototypical guy that when your team plays against him, you know, you're going to be like, oh man, we got to go against Morant tonight. That's going to be really tough for us. But he's, if you have the perspective in the context of his relationship with his teammates, you know, he's that point guard who sets up his guys, who in press conferences or press availability after the game talks about Solomon Hill making big plays before he talks about himself. He is looking for ways to get his teammates involved while having the full understanding that he is going to have to pick up the pieces in the fourth quarter where necessary, and he embraces that too. So he's almost, especially at such a young age, he's an ideal leader for this team because he doesn't really care about what I think of their timelines or what they should do, and nor should he. His teammates are interested in being competitive, getting after it the way that they're being taught to by Taylor Jenkins and the rest of the coaching staff. You know, it's really impressive how Morant is not shying away from things that most rookies, you know, would technically shy away from. He has a mentality of an attacker. He's going to get after you. And I think that's something that really separates guys that are pretty good at basketball or professional anything, really, good in life, from the great ones. That willingness to maybe put yourself out there a little bit and risk the fall as you rise.
I loved it, what happened last night. Obviously, it got a lot of attention. The way he, physically went at James Harden in the ways that basketball players go at other basketball players, but also verbally went at James Harden, the clip getting most of the attention after James sags off and allows Ja an open three-pointer. Ja takes it, Ja makes it, and then says, tell that MF-er about me. As if to, and I don't want to put words in Ja's mouth, but what that means to me is, somebody better tell this guy who he's dealing with. I don't know if he watched much OVC basketball, if he's paid attention to what we're doing, but I'm not going to be great someday. I'm great right now, and I'm giving it to him. That's the way I interpret that. And I saw the same tweets you saw about you don't talk to an MVP like that. And here's where I come down on that debate. You know, you if you're 20 years old, you don't talk to an MVP like that. Here's what I would say. If you're 20-year-old Dylan Brooks, you don't talk to an MVP that way. If, you know, like when Lance Stevenson used to try to mess with LeBron James, it was like one of you is maybe the GOAT and the other one is kind of a joke. You don't really need to be talking like that to our king and savior, LeBron James. That's disrespectful. But when you're Ja Morant and you ain't trying to be great someday, you are being great right now, and you've taken a franchise that was picked to finish last in the West, and as a 20-year-old, you've got it in the playoff picture literally halfway through the NBA season. If you want to tell somebody, hey, I ain't coming for you someday, I'm coming for you right now, and then you back it up with play, 10 of 11 from the field, 26-8, I got no problem with it. I'm glad he did it last night. I hope he does it next game.
I think he's going to, and I don't think that it's something that, you know, and I think Chris Harrington has talked about this and others. It's not like, obviously, I believe I saw their current offensive production during this stretch of really good basketball is something like what the Golden State Warriors did from 2014 to 2018. That's probably not sustainable. But in terms of the style of play, in terms of the success they're having, they're likely to cool off, but I don't think they're completely going to fade out of the picture and go on some 10-game losing streak. I think it's more likely they go 4-6 over a 10-game span or something like that. But the way that they're playing, the way they're competing, I just don't see them completely falling off the cliff, and I don't see Morant doing that either as long as his health stands. Trades are obviously on the table the next couple of weeks and that sort of stuff, but beyond that, obviously Morant's not somebody who's going to be in that conversation, and he is really taking and making this Memphis franchise his. And it's nice to have somebody like Jaren Jackson by his side, you know, a nice 1A, 1B kind of piece. They fit each other really well. The veterans that they do have, at least at this moment, are fitting well with what they're trying to do. It's all just meshing a lot sooner than a lot of people thought it would. And I think my favorite part of Morant is, you know, whether he calls his dad his original hater because he would give him such a hard time. You heard that in the lead-up to the 2019 NBA draft. Or whether it's, you know, talking about they said I can't shoot, so I'm proving them wrong. He is really good at finding ways to motivate himself. He constantly has a chip on his shoulder. You know, he's the darling of the NBA world right now. That's not an over-exaggeration. Our mother site, SB Nation NBA, there were two articles about the Grizzlies. I can't remember that ever happening in one day. But the Memphis Grizzlies have two main posts on the mothership, so to speak, of SB Nation. And in large part, it's because of what Ja Morant and his Grizzlies are doing. It's something that's completely unexpected. It's a lot of fun, and all that generates excitement, both in Memphis, and it's starting to spread nationally, too.
the chip on the shoulder makes sense to me because I don't like it when people like create it out of nowhere. Like when Dabo Swinney says, we're not getting any respect. Like, what are you talking about? Everybody thinks you're great. Maybe against a subpar schedule, no fault of your own. But like, what do you mean? Nobody wants us in the playoffs. Like, who has ever said we don't want Clemson in the playoffs? Like, he's just making things up. It reminded me of Tyler Hansborough back in 2009. North Carolina wins the national championship. I mean, just blows through the NCAA tournament. And after the championship game, Tyler Hansborough says, we proved all our doubters wrong. Nobody thought we could do this. I'm like, dude, everybody thought you could do this. You were preseason number one. You were a McDonald's All-American coming out of high school. Everybody thought you could do this, and everybody thought your team could do this. What are you talking about? With John Morant, don't ever forget, 2 years ago, he was the third leading scorer on Ohio Valley Conference team. That is of all the incredible Ja Morant things, that is an incredible Ja Morant thing. 2 years ago, the same guy you watched last night was the third leading scorer on an OVC team. And I promise you, though he enjoyed his time at Murray State, there's not a basketball player in the state of South Carolina who dreams of growing up and going to Murray State. His basketball career has always been about people doubting him, sending him to an auxiliary gym instead of working out with the best players his age group, going to the OVC instead of the SEC. And for the first time in his life, people are going, this guy is amazing. And probably for the first time in his life, people think he's just as great as he thinks he is. And if he is using the past skepticism to motivate the present, fine with me.
And that's just another example of Morant and Memphis being such a good fit, because you talk about the Grizzlies' mantra of Grizz Next Gen. That's their main focus now, and building a culture that's worthy of that. Our Parker Fleming did a great job writing about that earlier this week for the site over at Grizzly Bear Blues. The same concept of Morant being overlooked, being this great player that, you know, is shining brightly now, but, you know, like you said, whether it's playing at Murray State or being a zero-star recruit essentially coming out of South Carolina, he's kind of coming to his own in his own way. And that is, in a new way, if you're talking about a reinvention of what it means to be a Memphis Grizzlies basketball player, that fits in with the city too. So credit to Zach Kleiman, you know, Jason Wexler. Sometimes it pays off to be lucky, and obviously Morant being in Memphis is pretty much the definition of luck, moving up to number two overall in the draft. But at the same time, they've really done a good job finding ways to get people to buy into this team. Of course, watching Ja play does that in and of itself, but at the same time, the marketing strategy, the way that they're selling this team, and they've bought into the strengths of this team and really driving the excitement, the style of play, all of it is just really clicking on all cylinders right now. You feel like you're in year three of the rebuild, and it's, you know, what, month three or month four? It's not really a rebuild at this point, at least at this stage. Now, again, the bottom could fall out. They could slip and slide out of where they are currently, but I don't think the descent that's eventually going to happen is going to be anywhere near as steep as it could have possibly been when we started this season, and that's a testament to Ja Morant, Taylor Jenkins, and everybody associated with the Grizzlies.
Talking to Joe Mullinex here from GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Going back to the chip on the shoulder thing, obviously when you're the second pick in the draft, people think highly of you. You can't be the second pick in the draft otherwise. But still, that draft was the Zion draft, right? It was like, right. Hey, you know, who do you want to take once Zion is gone? And I promise you this, I don't know if Ja's ever said it or ever would say it, I bet you Ja Morant didn't think it was the Zion draft. I bet you Ja Morant thought it should have been the Ja Morant draft. And for whatever it's worth, and maybe it's just people getting caught up in the moment, maybe it's people using their eyeballs intelligently, but on First Take this morning, I didn't watch the show, but I saw some of the clips. One of the questions was, like, if you could redo the 2019 NBA draft, would you take Ja Morant number one ahead of Zion Williamson? And not everybody said yes, but some people said yes. And the idea that we're having that conversation in January of Ja's rookie year just speaks to the way he is performing, both from a team winning perspective and an individual perspective. Let me ask you this. We have for a while been saying he looks like he's going to be great. He looks like he's a superstar. Last night I thought it was interesting. Mike D'Antoni, the Rockets coach, after the game, he was talking about Ja Morant and how they could not keep him in front of him. And he said this exactly. He said, he's going to be great. And then he said, he's great already. Are we there now? Like, is it reasonable to say, given what we're watching, the numbers he's producing, the winning he's creating, Paul Pierce on ESPN last Friday night saying Ja Morant should be an all-star right now, is it reasonable to go ahead and go all the way there? Ja Morant isn't just going to be great. Ja Morant is already great as a 20-year-old rookie in the NBA.
I think it's important to put context into it. Is he a great defender? No. Is he great in terms of facilitating for his teammates, scoring off the dribble, taking over in the fourth quarter? Yes. There's layers to the game, right? And I do think, in fairness to Ja, you can say that about anybody, but the thing that's really the pinpoint of the argument is that Ja Morant's 20 years old. Like, when Ja Morant, I believe it was him that was bringing the ball up in the game against the Rockets, and he had a silly eight-second violation. I believe it was him. You know, that's a reminder that he's a rookie. You know, he's going to do things that are going to be mistakes, that are going to be, you know, teachable learning moments. But compared to other rookies, you know, people are more and more comparing him to, you know, Derrick Brooks' rookie season, Derrick Rose's rookie season, and other players of that ilk that had remarkable rookie campaigns. To me, that's where the focus is. And as great as those guys were, I think that's as high as you can go on Morant. And, of course, the peak of Derrick Rose was an MVP season. That's possible for Ja, too. I do want to continue to drive home the idea that there's going to be times where he's going to do silly things like that turnover. And for every great highlight that he has, and he had a ton of them against the Rockets, there's going to be teachable moments that he's going to only continue to grow. And I think that's what I'm most excited about, is we are scratching the surface of what Ja Morant can be. I don't think we've seen the very best of Ja Morant yet. It's, I would argue, almost impossible because of the lack of experience he has. He's going to continue to learn how to play in the NBA. He's going to continue to understand his positioning defensively, and they'll continue to develop him on that end especially too. And as he becomes an even more complete player than he already is, he's only going to become that much more dominant and that much more of an impact for the Grizzlies. So I think he's definitely one of the great rookie stories that we've seen in a really long time. Again, Derrick Rose is a great comp in that regard, and other dominant rookies. He's having an amazing stretch. There's a whole second half of the season to play. And while it's good to enjoy this moment, and I certainly think Memphis Grizzlies fans should, they have to continue to understand that Memphis is going to have to continue to try to find ways to sustain this. And while the current level of production may not be sustainable, keeping it close to this will be good enough to keep them in the playoff hunt. And obviously that starts with Morant and what he's doing.
I'm wrapping up here with Joe Mullinex, site manager for SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com, on Twitter at Joe Mullinex. Last thing before I let you go. If you only looked at box scores and never saw a highlight or watched a game, you could still determine that Ja Morant is having an excellent rookie season. But it's the visuals that I think add to it. It's fun to watch, and he has a really unique ability to make things that other people could not make. There was the skip pass for a corner three last night that might not be as flashy as something behind the back or a dunk at the rim, but my God, that's not a play normal basketball players can make. Most can't even see it, then get it there. He did both of those things effortlessly. There's multiple times in every game, including last night's game, where it looks like he doesn't know exactly what he's going to do. And it's almost like, oh, I don't know what I'm about. And then he just does it. And then it's like, well, there's a dunk, you know, either for Brandon or for Jaren. You know, getting in the lane, going behind his back, and then finding Jaren trailing for a dunk. When he just, you know, sort of gets in the air, hangs, and then sort of last minute, almost no look, throws it at the rim for an alley-oop. Can you just speak to that before you get out of here? His ability to, he's in this moment, and it looks like he's a little out of control. It doesn't appear that he knows what he's going to do, but then, boom, something amazing happens.
Ja Morant's game is intoxicating, and I think that's one of the best ways to describe it. It's like going to a really fun party for 2 hours or so, and enjoying yourself almost a little too much, but you don't go too far. You know what I mean? Like, you're really having a good time. And his game just really stimulates your, you know, he pops off the screen when you watch him. Or if you're in person, he jumps off the court, literally and figuratively. He just stands out with the way he plays. And I think you make a great point about how it looks like he's still trying to figure out what he wants to do. And that's what I'm referencing when I mentioned earlier about his development. So much of what he's doing right now is instinctual. So much of it is, okay, I'm in the air, what do I do? He's still kind of processing what he sees as he continues to get comfortable playing against NBA defenses, understanding the length of a particular team, matchups, the speed. All of that adds up over time, and he's using his elite athleticism, his elite vision, all of this at such a young age to do things that are so special as he still finds his footing as an NBA basketball player, which is why that development is just only going to continue to grow and grow with him, especially offensively. I think defensively he'll grow naturally. But on the offensive end, you know, his vision is elite because of his, you know, just basic life or skills, and I don't mean basic in a bad way. It's come to him naturally. His natural given gifts are really carrying him in a lot of these spots. He has instincts that rookies aren't supposed to have. With experience, I mean, imagine when he gets to, like, Chris Paul's peak age, when Chris Paul was at the height of his powers. I can't wait to see that. I mean, I can because I love the journey that he's on now. But as he gains NBA experience and becomes a veteran over these next few years, it's really going to be fascinating to watch him pull out moves on guys in addition to being in his physical prime. I'm not sure the NBA is really going to be able to handle what he's bringing because he's going to be such a mix of the natural ability to see the floor, the physicality of his athleticism and what that provides, plus the overall extra step and a half that experience brings as you better understand the game at the professional level.
That is Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Go read his column, The Audacity of Ja Morant, the Rookie of the Year frontrunner, is ready for war with the entire NBA. It's at GrizzlyBearBlues.com. You can also find it on his Twitter feed, at Joe Mullinex. Thanks, buddy. Great as always. I appreciate it.
GP, appreciate you. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye. When we come back, Cole Anthony announced earlier today on Instagram that he plans to return to North Carolina soon. So that's a projected top five pick of the 2020 NBA draft who's not going to quit his basketball team midseason. It was such a polite young man. Well, let's give you the details on that when we get back.
The teams, Tigers, Grizzlies, SEC, NFL, the stories, game day. Penny.
We're not intimidated and we're not afraid to play anybody. That offends people, then it's crazy.
The shows. The Jeff Calkins Show.
You ain't gotta do nothing, homeboy.
Jason and John.
Well, hello there.
Giannotto and Jeffrey.
You just made the list.
The Gary Parrish Show.
Be careful, be kind, be good, rep your hood.
The city.
Operator, get me Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis. The station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Memphis's number one sports place.
Are you a man who needs to restock your closet, update your wardrobe, dress properly and impressively for a new job? If so, this is Gary Parrish reminding you that we have one of the best clothing stores in America right here in Memphis. It's James Davis in the Laurel Wood Shopping Center. James Davis, it's where I get all of my suits and shirts for television work with CBS Sports. It's where I shop, and it's where you need to be shopping as well because James Davis is in the middle of a fall-winter clearance sale. Right now, you can get 50% off to 70% off all fall merchandise. The sale includes a fabulous selection of sports shirts, sweaters, jackets, pants, sport coats, everything priced to move. And I know you've heard me talk about the Stant Custom Fit dress shirts before, but it's worth repeating. You get three measurements taken at James Davis. 10 minutes later, you'll have a custom fit shirt ordered. It'll be ready in 9 days. They start at just $98. Trust me when I tell you, once you get a Stant custom fit shirt, you'll never buy off the rack again. And those Paul Bettany suits are still two for just $7.95. I own four of them myself. You deserve nice clothes, so go get them at James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookston, the owner, has won 8 world championships, so she sets the standard high. Ribs are cooked multiple times per day to give guests fresh from the cooker quality, and when you order a pulled pork sandwich, the pork is hand-pulled right then and not a moment earlier. If you've been to Memphis Barbecue Company, you know it's legit. If you haven't been, go. It's at 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. Check them out on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Hey, it's Eric Hasselton from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
And now a message from Puffs Plus Lotion Tissues. Coughing and sneezing aren't the season's worst flaw. It's the ordinary tissues that can leave noses raw. With each little wipe, they can leave noses red. So do your sniffer a favor. Buy Puffs Plus Lotion instead. Puffs have lotion to soothe and are soft on your nose. You'll feel the difference with each of your blows, especially during cold and flu season. A nose in need deserves Puffs indeed.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Cooper Systems up in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com, 360-9679. That's the phone number, 360-9679. If you need a computer, new computer, custom-built computer, refurbished computer, doesn't matter what kind, get in touch with Lee and Lauren Cooper over at Cooper Systems. Just give them a call, 360-9679. When they answer, tell them I said hello, and then tell them what kind of computer you're looking for. More specifically, tell them what you're going to be using the computer for. Like, are you going to be gaming? Because that's a gaming computer. Those are a little expensive, sure. But if you're just messing around on Facebook and YouTube, surfing the web, emailing, you don't need the same type of computer that a gamer is going to need. You just need a very basic machine. And you can get that for a few hundred bucks at Cooper Systems. At Cooper Systems, they're going to have such a variety of options that you're going to be able to find something that's perfectly suited for you. And if it's perfectly suited for you, it's going to be better price for you because you won't end up paying for a lot of stuff you'll never use. 360-9679. The New Year sale is ongoing. Prices are slashed. 360-9679. Cooper Systems on the web. CooperSystems.com. Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. He was at Penny Hardaway's press conference earlier today. What did Penny Hardaway say? We'll talk to Jeff Calkins about it a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. 4 notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 Notable Stories at 444. Story number one.
Cole Anthony announced earlier today on Instagram that he plans to return to North Carolina's lineup soon. So that's interesting. Brad, a top 5 projected pick in the 2020 NBA draft, who's not just going to quit his team midseason, even though his team stinks and there's really not much to come back to.
I've seen this story before go the other way.
I like here in Memphis, I think some Tiger fans are just sort of conditioned to think, oh, you know, preseason top 5 picks. Like, why wouldn't you quit and do what's best for you? Because most people don't do it. That's why. And it's the only point I've been trying to hammer home since the day James Wiseman quit his team midseason and became the first, listen to me, first healthy college basketball player to quit a top 10 team midseason. The first in history to focus strictly on the NBA draft. Like, when he did it, I was just like, I understand if you want to say, it's his right, he can do it. I mean, of course it's his right, he can do it. But the idea that people didn't think it was strange
and unusual, literally unprecedented, is the part that just blew my mind. Like, he quit the team midseason. It's one thing when players want to skip college altogether and just work out in advance of the NBA draft or take an internship in advance of the NBA draft or go play overseas in advance of the NBA draft. Other players have done that. They never get criticized for it. That's a sensible and normal thing to do. It's another thing when you are a projected first-round pick, you get hurt in your season, and then you decide for whatever reason, you know what, I don't want to try to bounce back from this too soon. I don't want to risk injury again because, this could literally cost me millions of dollars. Like, that's Darius Garland's story. Mm-hmm. It's Bol Bol's story. We can debate whether they're good stories or bad stories, right stories or wrong stories, but they're not unusual stories. Players have done that, although Zion Williamson is a great example of a player who decided to do the opposite last year. Me? Not come back from this injury? Just to protect my draft spot? No, no, no. I'm going to go try to win a national championship. I will rejoin my Duke teammates just as soon as I can. Like,
no.
What James Wiseman did is totally, totally different than what anybody else has ever done. He committed to the University of Memphis. He enrolled at the University of Memphis. He played for the University of Memphis after recruiting other players to the University of Memphis, after having a coaching staff fight for him with the NCAA, both privately and publicly. Honestly, against their best interest, as right. I pointed out at the time. And then you just bail on him in the middle of your suspension? Again, it is his right, but it is also unusual. And Cole Anthony announcing today that he's going to come back and play. For North Carolina teams that just 8-8, I think it puts into proper perspective exactly what James Wiseman did. Cole Anthony is going to keep playing for a North Carolina team that probably won't make the NCAA tournament. Anthony Edwards is going to keep playing for a Georgia team that probably won't make the NCAA tournament. And yet James Wiseman quit a top 10 team midseason simply to focus on the NBA draft. What is Cole Anthony showing us? What's Anthony Edwards showing us? What do most college basketball players show us? It's possible to play college basketball once you commit to playing college basketball and still prepare for the NBA draft. Worked out fine for Zion Williamson. I imagine it'll work out fine for Cole Anthony. And that's why the James Wiseman story is still, at this moment, a story of one.
Story number two.
It's now official. Zion Williamson is not going to play inside FedEx Forum on MLK Day on Monday, which is disappointing. You wanted to see Ja and Zion. You just wanted to see Zion in general. So it's disappointing, but not completely unexpected, even though there was a report from Mitch Lawrence earlier this week that said Ja was going to return Thursday night, tomorrow night, against Utah. What the Pelicans have decided, it appears, is that they don't want to bring him back this week, or they have decided they don't want to bring him back before the big nationally televised game with the Grizzlies on the road, because there will be a lot of eyeballs on that. Plus, the Pelicans have an ABC game on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So here's what it looks like to me, that maybe they just didn't want to bring him back this week. And if you don't bring him back this week, then you don't bring him back against the Grizzlies on the road in a nationally televised game against the rookie with whom he will be compared forever. I mean, that's going to become a debate going forward.
Sure.
A little bit like the Odin Durant thing. Like, it really might become the same thing as the Odin Durant thing, where one player looked like he had to be the number one pick, but he couldn't stay healthy enough, and this other player that you passed on has become a Hall of Famer. Like, I'm not putting it there yet. That would be way premature, but I won't be surprised in 5 years if we're talking about Zion Ja draft like we do the Odin Durant draft. So you don't want to bring him back so early against that guy. But I talked to, and I think I mentioned this earlier in the week, when I was in Newark last Saturday for Seton Hall Marquette, there were some NBA scouts, NBA front office executives there, and I have a friend of mine who works for the Pelicans, and I asked him, I was like, hey, come on, man, tell me, please, Ja's going to be back for the Grizzlies game. And he was like, maybe. He said, but, and he has no say in when Ja Morant comes back, so it's not like he just works for the organization. But he said, knowing the organization, they will probably bring him back at home. The first game will be a home game as a treat to the fans. And so if Ja wasn't going to play Thursday against Utah or Saturday against the Clippers, then he was not going to play Monday against the Grizzlies, even if he were healthy enough and ready to play Monday against the Grizzlies, because you don't bring him back first game for a road game. You probably don't want to put him on the same stage as Ja Morant when he's still trying to get, you know, into NBA shape and get NBA ready. So disappointing, but kind of understandable, I guess. Zion Williamson's debut with the New Orleans Pelicans' first regular season NBA game is now scheduled for next Wednesday, January 22nd, in New Orleans against the San Antonio Spurs.
Story number three.
So it happened last night, about 30, 40 minutes after we got off the air. The Boston Red Sox announced that Alex Cora has been fired. So that's two managers, World Series winning managers, A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora, that have both been fired because of this sign-stealing scandal that has engulfed the sport. And it's hilarious to me. Like, if they were college basketball coaches, they'd probably be getting contract extensions. But yeah, because they're baseball managers, like, they're gone, baby, gone.
Your guy's next, though, it sounds like.
It does
like.
Look like. It does look like it. Yeah. Carlos Beltran is the Mets manager, was hired to replace Mickey Callaway. And obviously he was a part of these Astros team.
Yes.
That was and the investigation concluded that he played a role in the sign stealing. Like, how big of a role, that's unclear, but he played a role in it. Right. And somebody today pulled up this press conference.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah, Cora? And he does the wink and a nod, and he mentions Beltran, right?
Yeah, so check this out. It's when the Yankees and Red Sox played in London, like a two-game series last season, and the Red Sox gave up 29 runs to the Yankees in two games.
Literally.
Right? I mean, it was just like bizarro baseball. I mean, the Yankees were just crushing the ball all over the park and out of the park. And so Alex Cora afterwards was asked about this, and here's what he said. He said, the Yankees are a lot better offensively than they were last year. And then he added,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.